Well, you know, what Jeff and Lori have gone through is going to go right with our message today. Say these words with me and do your best to mean it. Say, I want to change. Whether we like it or not, no, you don't have to say that. Just, I want to change. Change is going to occur, right? Is there anybody who has never experienced any change whatsoever? Okay, I don't see any hands. Well, especially when a person comes to God, things are going to change. And you can either go with the change, or you can try to resist the change, but if you try to resist change, it's not going to produce much in your life. So we have to learn how to deal with change, and we're still talking about renewing the mind. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Romans chapter 12. So God is using a church in Palmyra to partner with people in all parts of the world. And that's amazing, isn't it? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is what God wants for you. He wants you, through His mercy, to be able to present your body a living sacrifice. Now, before a person comes to Christ, maybe their body was involved in things that weren't acceptable to God. But now when you come to Christ, you've got to change what your body has been presenting. Amen? And verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. Don't get too attached to this world or this world system, how this world operates. How this world is operating today is run by a naked madman named Satan. The Bible calls him the god of this world or this world's system. Okay? So God is telling us here to be not conformed to this world. All right? Yes, we're in the world, but we're not of it. Okay? Our citizenship, our loyalty lies in something beyond this world. It's God's kingdom. Amen? And the kingdom has already come at hand. When Jesus was on this earth, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So God, Jesus represents the kingdom of God. So be not conformed to this world, but if we're not to be conformed, what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be transformed. How do we do that? By the renewing of your mind. In other words, you have to get new information. You have to develop a new way of thinking. You know, Jeff and Lori, did you have to develop a new way of thinking in a different culture? You know, they still are. And guess what? We all still are too. There's no one in this room that has arrived. If you've arrived, you should be in heaven. Since you're not in heaven, and I'm not in heaven, guess what? We haven't arrived yet. So that means we are still to continually learn. We're to be teachable. Amen? And don't you appreciate God who has given us the greatest teacher ever, the Holy Spirit? He's given us our very own personal trainer to not live close to us, but to live within us. And each one of us can access what the Holy Spirit knows. He will share His information with you. Amen. So we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And when we do this, we will prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want you to notice something. You will not prove God's will good and perfect if you don't change the way you think. You have to renew your mind. You have to think differently. And when you do, when you think differently, then you will prove God's will as good, perfect, and acceptable. Amen? Now, there are some things that it's going to take faith to see change through. Change may not be easy. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I remember as a young boy, when my body was developing, there was a part of my heel on my foot that hadn't caught up to the rest of my foot. And it was underdeveloped, and every time I walked, it feels like it was being pulled in two different directions. Very painful. So I went to the foot doctor. He took a cast of my foot, and basically he said, well, it'll change when you grow out of it. Thank you very much. But eventually, that part of my body made the changes that were necessary, and the pain stopped. And I want you to know today that I'm here to encourage every one of us to change. To develop, see, if you're not willing to change, it's going to be a lot harder for you to face that change. So I'm here to work on your willingness today. Because whether you like it or not, change will occur. Okay? So with God, change begins on the inside. It never begins on the outside. When I came to Christ, my hair color did not change. But God has added some color to me. Amen? My physical height did not change when I made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. My eyes are still green. They were green before I knew the Lord, and they're green after I knew the Lord. But I can guarantee you that something on the inside of me changed. I now had God's nature. I now had a desire for God that I didn't have before when I got born again. My perspective changed. My focus changed. And now, in order to carry out and sustain that change, I'm going to have to continue to renew my mind. Because just getting born again one day, that is simply the beginning. Amen? But then you got to live your life. Okay? And God gives you a lifetime to live. So these are some things that will help you to see change through. Go with me to Joshua chapter 22. Book of Joshua chapter 22. I'm just going to take my time. I'm not in a hurry. And we're continuing this from last month because I really didn't get into it, but just a little bit. And there's some things here that can really benefit us. Can you say amen? Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5, Joshua is addressing some of the Israelites. And he makes this statement in verse 5. He says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Did you know your mind is a part of your soul? It is. And praise God. So we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent about how we pay attention. We need to be diligent about what we hear. You know, how many know it takes a certain mindset to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, right? And to obey his commandments, it requires us to accept his, to make his ways our ways. Amen? How many know that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts? His ways are higher than our ways. But does that mean we cannot do his ways? Absolutely not. Just because, see, yes, his ways are higher, but what he does is he brings us up to his way. Amen? He teaches us how he lived on this earth and how to live in the kingdom and how to relate to God and how to relate to people. Jesus teaches all this. There's not a subject in the Bible that you cannot experience in life. In other words, no matter what you experience in life, the Bible has something to say about it. Okay? So, I want you to be diligent to heed the commandment of the Lord, to love the Lord, to walk in his all, to walk in how many of his ways? We are responsible to walk in all the ways of the Lord. Our ways is how we live, our behavior, how we carry ourselves, you know, what we do in everyday life. But we have to be diligent. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule. You know, God wants us to rule and reign in life. And oftentimes, the diligent is contrasted with the sluggard or the slothful. You know, you ever see a sloth? They don't move too fast. You know, it's like, I'm a sloth. How are you? You know, sloths don't move too fast. Okay? But the diligent hand will rule. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 1. These are some things that will help you to deal with change. Being diligent will help you deal with change. When you're presented with an opportunity to become better, how well you embrace that opportunity. If you have the mindset, when you're presented with an opportunity to become better, you say, I'm going to be the best that I can be. How many athletes do we have here? You played sports, right? Well, when you first started playing, were you the best? But some might have different. How? Okay. If you think you're the best, then you should be exempt from all practice, are you? Why not? Even the best players on a team have to practice. And they have to be conditioned. They have to be trained. Because they want, number one, if you play on a team, it's not a one-man sport. So you got to condition yourself that you got to coincide and cooperate with a team. It's not just all about you. Amen? And if you go into a team sport thinking, I'm all this, and I'm all that, and I'm going to do this, your teammates are going to have some issues with you. You know, in basketball, they call them ball hogs. It's kind of like boss hog. So another thing that you're going to have to do to embrace change is to be willing and obedient. Amen? First of all, why would God, you know, the way God leads people is he gives us instructions. You know, oftentimes, when he walked along the beach and the fishermen were washing their nets, he didn't go into a big speech. He simply said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, here were the fishermen. They're cleaning their nets. They had spent a hard day at work. They were professional fishermen. They had their own business. Now they had an opportunity. Come follow me. And guess what? There are opportunities for every one of us every day to become better. God didn't want them to stop fishing. He just wanted them to catch something else. They were good at catching fish, but God had a plan for them to catch men. And that required that fisherman to change. What did they do? They laid down their nets and they began to follow this man who walked by and said these words. And they followed him for 3.5 years. And they learned what he knew. He showed them. He taught them. He instructed them. And they were willing to learn. And guess what? They got to a point where they took over what he started. If they hadn't gone through that training, if Peter hadn't been trained, are you kidding me? Peter wouldn't have made it to Pentecost, I'm telling you, if he hadn't had any training. You know, if Thomas hadn't trained, he wouldn't have made it. But thank God he did. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Isn't that a good opportunity? God comes to you, and you were a sinner. You did bad things, but I was a good person. But if you don't know Jesus, you're a sinner. And he comes to you and says, yes, your sins are messy. Your sins are like scarlet, but you have an opportunity to become white as snow. Is that to be better? God wants you better, okay? Then what does he say? First of all, you got to come and reason together. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How's that going to come to pass? Verse 19. Everybody say if. If you want to be white as snow, you've got to be willing and obedient. That word if, that means it's not automatic. That word if means you have a choice in the matter. You could choose to reject the offer. I love my sin. I love my mess. I'm keeping it. God will let you keep it. And it breaks God's heart because he's already dealt with the sin issue by sending his son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who took the sin of the entire world upon himself. And you don't have to keep your sin, but if you want to, you can. You have to be willing. You got to want to. You got to want to change. Say that again with me. Say, I want to change. We should never get to the place where you put the cruise control on life. You should never get to the place where you say, I'm okay, I'm good enough, let's just set the cruise and keep it at this pace. Moses, he didn't get going until he was 80. As a baby, he was born. And as a baby, he had a death threat on his life. All the male children were supposed to be killed. That was according to Pharaoh. And his life was spared. His mother hid him until she couldn't hide him anymore. And she took an act of faith by putting him into an ark and putting him in the Nile where there's crocodiles and all kinds of other dangers. Now, this is how cool God is. His sister is watching where he goes. And Pharaoh's daughter pulls him out of the water. That's actually what his name means, to be pulled out of the water. And Pharaoh's daughter, God puts favor in her eyes towards this Hebrew baby. And she likes him. She wants to keep him as his. And then Moses' sister says, would you like me to get a maid to nurse him? Do you know that Moses' mother got paid to nurse her own child? Can you say amen? He was raised in the palace. But that wasn't God's plan for his life. He had a good job, a good retirement, nice clothes. He had everything he wanted, but that wasn't God's plan for his life. God's plan for him was to be a deliverer. And before he understood his plan, he did try to deliver. But it was in the wrong way. He did it by murder. You know, when the guys were having a fight, he killed the Egyptian because he was beating the Hebrew, because that deliverance was, he didn't know how to channel what God wanted to do in his life. So he had a choice. He could have stayed in the palace, but if you read Hebrews 11, he chose to be among the slaves. He chose to give up the life of the palace. You know, sin is fun for a season, but then after a while, it stops being fun. And then you see the destruction you couldn't see the destruction that it brought before, but now when sin unveils the destruction, you're like, I can't get out. And God had to take Moses out of Egypt. He fled because he was a wanted man. If you'd have went to the Egyptian post office, you'd have seen a picture of Moses. He'd have been on Egypt's most wanted, right? He was a wanted man. That's why he had to flee Egypt. And what did he do? He led sheep. It was okay. Moses said, this is not a bad job. But see, God had to retrain him. He had to give him a different mindset. Moses learned leadership from sheep. As he would go out there, you know, there would be dangers in the wilderness. He had to protect the sheep. He had to feed the sheep. Lo and behold, God had 3 million sheep on his mind for Moses to lead. He became the pastor of the biggest church in the world, probably. But Moses had to be willing, and he had to be obedient. Now, when God first told him what he wanted him to do, he wasn't willing. I can't speak. I can't talk. I'm not eloquent. I don't know what to say. Who am I? And God answered every one of his excuses. You know what? You might as well just give in and do what God wants you to do, because if you don't, you'll be miserable. You will be miserable. If I was doing anything else than what I'm doing right now, I'd be miserable. This is what I'm called to do. But when God answered every one of Moses' excuses, he finally gave in. He became willing and obedient. And do you realize, every time he appeared in the courts of Pharaoh, Pharaoh could not arrest him. Pharaoh could not kill him. Pharaoh could not stop him. Why? Because God was with him. Moses was able to face the place that he fled because of his new mindset. And it took 40 years. Don't let God give you 40 years. Don't wait 40 years to change. Don't wait 40 years to become willing and obedient. Do it right now. Right now, in this moment, make a decision in your heart saying, Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing. Whatever you say, I will do, in Jesus' name. And then, you know, you're going to have to go through a period of denying yourself. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Oh, but I love myself too much. That's the problem. See, if you love yourself more than you love God, you won't change to do what God says. Then you have made yourself God. But there comes a point in time when God calls you, and you will have to deny yourself. You will have to tell yourself no. You will have to tell your body no. You will have to be willing to change directions and change the course of your life. Now, that doesn't necessarily apply to everybody, because there are many that are doing what God wants you to do. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to kind of shift gears here for a little bit. Look at verse 28, Matthew 11, 28. You know, we serve a good God. And he is not here to overburden you. Okay? Matthew 11, 28 says this. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? If you want rest, what do you have to do? You have to come to him. If you don't want to come to him, then you will go restless. You will go without rest. But to get the rest, you've got to come to him. You might be heavy, you might be burdened down, but he will alleviate your burden. Did you know that you were not designed to carry what you've been carrying? Let the Lord carry it for you. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. That's mind renewal. New information. You know, Jeff and Lori, could you guys speak Chinese before you went? So you had to learn when you got there, right? They had to learn an entirely different language. And there's several hundred, is there a lot of dialects there? Yeah. And they're reaching a people group that is considered a minority in the country. But you know what? I believe that they're doing what God wants them to do. Were you guys both English teachers? Okay, they were both teachers here in the school system. And now they're making disciples of Chinese men and women. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? And my burden is what? Who's talking? So when you go around saying how heavy your burden is, you're disagreeing with Jesus. That means you need to go, you have a rest appointment that you need to make. That means you're taking too much on yourself. You're trying to do it by works or by your experience or by your accolades. But guess what? It doesn't work by your works. It works by faith and faith alone. And when you have faith, you will produce works, but the works won't be a burden. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. After all, he's the light of the world. If he wants to make it light, he can make it light. Amen? Now, I want to share with you some people. Go with me to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. There are some people in the Bible that went out of their mind and came back to their right mind. And they would be the first ones to tell you it's better to be in the right mind than not in the right mind. Okay? Daniel 4, verse 16. He's talking here about a vision that the king Nebuchadnezzar had, who was king of Babylon. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Maybe 7 years or a period of seven something. Okay? Now go with me to verse 30. Well, verse 29 says, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? What kind of mindset does Nebuchadnezzar have? Pride. You know what happens when someone gets into pride? It comes before a fall. He is taking credit for building this kingdom. Yes, his kingdom was incredible. His kingdom was vast. His kingdom was glorious. But you better understand that God builds kingdoms, not man. And when a man thinks he begins to build a kingdom, that kingdom is going to crumble. And all the king's horses and all the king's men, it'll be just like Humpty Dumpty. They won't be able to put that back together again. You know what happened to Humpty Dumpty? He fell. And he broke into pieces because he was an egg. He was an egghead. Okay? Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, you can tell what is on someone's mind by the words that they say. There fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. That same hour the thing was fulfilled on Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men. He did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. So I want you to think about this for a minute. He went from being a king to a cow. He literally was changed into a beast. He couldn't speak. All he could do was moo and eat grass. But it started in his mind. When he took the wrong mindset about what was happening in his life, he gave the credit to the wrong person. He was actually taking credit away from God and putting it on him. Look at what I've done. Look what look what you've done now. So he went from being the intelligent king to a mindless beast. And Nebuchadnezzar could be one to tell you what it's like to lose your mind. Because look at verse 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that live forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. So sometime when his mind was a beast, he began to appreciate the thing that he lost. He had a mind change. He had a mind renewal. And Nebuchadnezzar got to the point where he said, I want to change. And praise God that he did change. But how many believers still want to have the mindset of the beast and still live in the palace? You know, he had to be driven out of the palace. Everything he knew, everything he was familiar with changed. And in his case, he was the cause of the change. Do you realize that God showed him in a dream what was going to happen, and Daniel was interpreting the dream? He could have changed then. Pharaoh could have changed when Moses said, should I get rid of the frogs? No, let's just keep them one more night. Are you kidding me? Frogs in the flour, frogs in the cookie jar, frogs on the table, frog in the shower, frog in my bed. You want to keep it one more day? Are you crazy? Oh, I'll just keep my sickness. It's my sickness. I have it. It's mine. A lot of people take ownership of their sickness. God didn't give you that sickness. There is sickness in the world, and sickness comes on people, young and old, male, female, believers, unbelievers. It comes on, but God's given us the tools to resist it, to overcome it, to conquer it. Is that right? Has God provided healing in his word, in his atonement? Didn't Jesus walk around healing people? So we should never doubt whether or not what God's will is concerning healing. But the problem is our mindset. We're so used to taking ownership of it. So we need to have our minds changed. Look at verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. When you put God first, it's amazing how he works things out. And now this is an extreme case. Let's talk about one more. Let's talk about a family that had two boys. The younger went to his father and said, I want my inheritance now. I got to have it now. I want to gratify myself now. I got to have it now. I got to have it now. Do we have a gratifying the flesh now mentality? We could put that attitude to a test. Next time you go to Walmart, get in the longest line, not the shortest line, and see how well your attitude is. Just a thought. The prodigal son had a rebellious mindset. I want to do what I want to do, and no one's going to tell me what to do. You're not telling me nothing. So what did the father do? He gave him his inheritance. See, God will give you what you choose. You better make your choice wisely. You better choose life, not death. Because if you choose death and death happens, don't blame God for your choice. So what did he do? The Bible says he went out and spent his money in riotous living. I got to find this here. Oh, yeah. Nope. The prodigal means wasteful. It means, I had it down here in my notes. Anyway, here we go. Yes, here. Thank you. Here's what the word prodigal means. Wasteful, reckless, uncontrolled, extravagantly wasteful. And where did that mindset get him? When he spent all that he had, all of his friends just happened to disappear. They didn't love him. They loved his money. They loved what he could buy for them. They loved the fun times. But you know what? The fun time quickly ended in this man's life. And he ended up, he had to beg for a job feeding pigs. And while he's in the pig pen, muddy, stinky, hungry, he's looking at what the pigs eat, and he's saying, you know, that looks pretty good. You're pretty bad when you want to eat what a pig eats. I've seen what pigs eat, and I don't want to eat what a pig eats. But how did he get there? Because of his mindset. But you know what happened while he's in the pig pen? He has an epiphany. The Bible says he came to himself. That means he sobered up in his mind. That means he had a reality check. That means he finally, God now can speak to him. Before, he was rebellious. He rejected wisdom. He rejected truth. He didn't want to listen to anybody. But he came to himself. That means he had been away out of his head and now began to see things as they really were, according to Robertson's word pictures. He began to change the way he thought, and now he started to think, my father's servants have it better than I do. Now he began to think, if I just be a servant of my father, I'll be better off. where before he wanted to take what was his and run, now he's changing. And see, if you're not in the right mind, it's going to be hard for change to take place. You got to get in the right mind. And God will allow you to reach the lowest point. God only operates in your life by invitation. When you call out to him, he will answer you, even if you're at the depth. When Jonah was in the belly of the fish, he cried out to God because he got tired. He only spent 3 days in the fish. He said, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll become willing. See, if you spend 3 days in the belly of a fish, your willingness increases. Barnes says about this prodigal son, it is commonly applied to one who has been deranged, and when he recovers, he comes to himself. Have you gotten to yourself yet? Have you gotten to the point where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired? And if you're at that point, then you can change. So this son, he goes home now because he has a different mindset. Because of his choices, of his previous mindset, it led him down a dead-end road. So now he's making his way home. I can just see him, his head hung down. He's not even running, he's walking. Because he's ashamed. See, the devil will lead you down a road and he'll shame you. He'll lead you down a dead-end road and he'll walk away and lock the door. He'll barricade the thing so you can't get back. So this man made his way home. And his father had to be a man of faith. Number one, you have to be a man of faith to let your children choose something that's not necessarily good for them. Secondly, he had to be a man of faith because he saw him afar off. He must have been praying. I can see the father praying and God saying, your son's coming home today. So he was expecting. He was looking. And sure enough, he looked up and he saw someone coming down the road. And he said, that's my son. And he ran to meet his son. His mindset was, my son was lost, but now he's found. My son who was dead, he's now alive. The father kept a positive mindset because he didn't criticize the son. He didn't say, see, I told you so. I told you if you take this money, I told you this would happen. You know, you don't need to kick a person when they're down. Is that how God does to us? When we've made a mistake? God doesn't say, you no good for nothing, child. He doesn't do that. What God does is, how can I help you? So here comes the prodigal son. He comes home, the father's excited, gets a robe, gets a ring, new shoes. See, with just a change of mindset, he went from being rejected to restored. Just changing his mindset. Now, once again, he had to go to the extreme to change his mindset. You're here today. You don't have to go to the extreme to change your mind. You can change it today, right now. You can have a want to in you to change. Amen? I want to encourage you to have a want to today. I want to encourage you to be willing today. Because change is going to occur. And this is what happens when a believer comes, when someone believes in Jesus Christ. They change from darkness to light. That's a good change, isn't it? You're not any fumbling around anymore. You change from evil to good. That's a good change. You change from bondage to freedom. Amen? God can break chains. If you're bound by anything, it could be a substance, it could be pornography, it could be gossip, it could be lying. If you consistently do it, you're bound and you need to be free. And the chain breaker is here today. You can change from fear to faith. That's a good change. To not be fearful, but to be faithful. You can change from trusting in self to relying on God. Oh, but you don't know how people hurt me. Yeah, they hurt Jesus too, and he's still able to trust you. Mm-mm-mm. Listen, Jesus can heal the hurt. He can heal the pain. Only he can. You can change from being rejected to accepted. Woo! God accepts you. But you don't know what I did. Yeah, but he does, and he accepts you. You can go from being hard-hearted to tender. Oh, God can take that hard-heartedness and give you a tender heart so that he can write. He wants to inscribe his law on your heart. You know, like when you put a steak on the grill and you get that nice cross, you can play tic-tac-toe on that steak. You know? You leave a mark on that steak. God wants to leave his mark on you. You can go from being separated from God to being in his family. And finally, you can go to having sins like scarlet to being white as snow. It all comes with renewing the mind. Say this with me one more time. Say, I want to change. Say, I can only change if God helps me. And I know he helps me, so I can carry out the change. I'm going to make this change stick. I'm going to make it last. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're here today, maybe you're here and you need to be born again. The one change that if you're not born again, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do it today. God loves you. He has a plan for you, and the first step in his plan is get born again. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. If you need power to carry out what God wants for you, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. He'll baptize you with power. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. If you've been walking with God, and like the prodigal son, you strayed, today is your day to come home. Amen? So, if you're here and you need to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, or you need to come back home, the rest of you, just make a decision that you're going to change. Amen? And when you make a heartfelt decision, your body will start to take steps to follow that path. Amen? Because if I'm not telling you to make the decision with your head. If you make it with your head, it'll change tomorrow. You got to make it with your heart. From the heart, with your whole heart. So if you need to be born again, I would invite you to come and accept Jesus Christ. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'd be glad to lay hands on you and pray for you. It's a free gift. Amen? And if you need to come back home, today's your day to experience the love of the Father. He hasn't stopped loving you. He hasn't stopped working. And matter of fact, he hasn't moved. You have. So now it's time to move again. But this time, move in the right direction. Amen. Does that apply to anybody here today? You need to be born again. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be come back home. How about number four? You need to be healed in your body. Amen. Healing is the Father's will. If you need to be healed in your body, come up. I just want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for moving by your Holy Spirit and touching and drawing hearts, Father. Let the power of the Holy Spirit go into this place and begin to draw men to you, Father. Draw men to your will. Men and women, young and old, in the name of Jesus. Father, as the kids are being ministered to, Lord, touch them in kids' life right now. Pour out your Spirit upon them, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for touching our kids, Father. We love kids so much. Hallelujah.